premiere of BYU basketball with Kevin Young. We get to know Coach Young and his Cougars as BYU wraps up its first month of play and ramps up toward Big 12 competition. We've got the coach and his chief of staff, Doug Stewart, on our first ever show with the Cougs' new bench boss, coming up next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
Welcome back. Inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building on the BYU campus in Provo, Utah. We've switched gears from football to basketball tonight. We tip off our season of shows on BYU basketball with Kevin Young, our weekly look inside the BYU men's basketball program. We have a live studio audience of which you can be a part, and we are live and on demand via the BYU TV and BYU radio apps and ESPN+. Coming up on tonight's season premiere, we will introduce Cougar Nation to the 2024-25 BYU men's basketball team. We will have a deep blue feature with assistant coach John Linehan. New chief of staff Doug Stewart will join the program. We'll have an audience segment with Q&A for Coach Young and some basketball trivia later on in the show as well. Well, after the school's namesake, Steve Young is arguably the most famous Young in the BYU sports world, but now we have some competition from a distant cousin, as it turns out, who in April was named as the 19th head coach in BYU men's basketball history. And tonight, he's at the helm on his first weekly show here in Studio C. Please help me welcome in Kevin Young. Coach Young, good to see you. Welcome back. All right. You were with us with Kalani a few weeks back, so you got a feel for the studio.
Yeah. No, it was good being in here with him. You know, he's showing me the ropes in many ways. So.
We wish those guys the best as they await their bowl destination. We'll get a good one here on Sunday.
Yeah, no, excited, man. It's been a blast following those guys all year, and wish him well here in this last one.
As this is your first real show, it's going to be a bit of a get to know you as we learn more about your background. And with this BYU head coaching job, you're actually back in the state in which you were born.
That's true. Yeah, I was. Funny you mentioned that. I was with my son earlier today, and he didn't believe me that I was born in Utah, so we had to call Grammy, my mom, to to clarify that. But yeah, I was born here, left the state when I was one, but I have a lot of family ties to the state, and yeah, man, it's full circle.
And when you left as an infant, Texas was the first stop.
Yep. So I was in Dallas till I was 13. With a pit stop in Michigan for 1 year, but we came back to Dallas and then moved to Atlanta 13 years after we got to Dallas.
I was born in Sudbury, Ontario at one, moved to Saskatoon at 13, made my move to Calgary with the family, so a similar path, different countries. but it was the Atlanta area for you. That was the high school years, and where you kind of did most of your growing up then, I guess, after that.
Yeah, so I claim Atlanta as home. Had a great, you know, upbringing there. Had an unbelievable high school coach that ultimately kind of led me down this career path, but went to college out there as well, and then worked as a professional for a year, and then made my way out west and kind of been everywhere in between since then.
So as a kid going into teenager, when did you gravitate to basketball?
Ever since I can remember, honestly, but when I got real serious about it, it was probably fifth grade. I remember that being like my first big like travel tournament and that kind of thing, and that's probably my first memory of it just getting kind of serious.
Were you a point guard?
I was.
Always a point guard? Kind of, that was the mentality?
Yeah, always a point guard. I mean, in college, you know, I kind of played on and off the ball a little bit as we had different iterations of guys coming in. But yeah, man, was always a point guard, always kind of tried to get us organized and kind of be an extension of the coach on the floor.
Your high school ball, Marietta?
Yep.
And then you go JUCO? And then small college ball, Division II at Clayton State. Mm-hmm. Where'd you play the JUCO, first of all?
Middle Georgia College, which is named appropriately. It's in the middle of nowhere. and did that for 2 years. And then, as you said, transferred up to Clayton State, which was closer to my hometown.
The Lakers out of the Peach Belt Conference.
Yep.
And one of the competitors of Clayton State back in the day, they're Division I now, but Kennesaw State was in Division II and in your league at the time. And we were familiar with Kennesaw State because when Tony Engel left BYU, he went to be the head coach at Kennesaw State. And you played against him.
I did, yeah. No, the Engel entire family, great, great family, great basketball family. Yeah, Tony was a fierce competitor. We had some unbelievable battles against those guys. They went on to win the national championship my junior year. We had a pretty, the most exciting, boring game in the conference finals against those guys because it was just a defensive brawl.
43-39 was the final.
You've done your research, yeah. Most exciting.
How does that happen, 43-39?
Just an absolute bloodbath of a game. A lot of defense. Both coaches very defensive minded. But now the Engel family is great. Several of them are high school coaches out here. I'll see one of them tomorrow, actually. But yeah, great family.
And then you finished playing, and you were almost right into the game quickly as a coach. Did you know, leaving it as a college player, that that was something you wanted to do?
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned my high school coach, Roger Quam. You know, he's a I still talk to him frequently. He was an unbelievable influence on me. I thought he had the greatest life. He had five kids, awesome wife, coached hoops, and just seemed like life was good. And I was like, I want to do that. And so initially wanted to be a high school coach, and that's kind of the path I thought I was on. And then when I got to college, thought maybe college was the move in terms of coaching, and then a lot of different things happened between then and now.
I'm going to list off your coaching jobs, and perhaps you could share just a few thoughts or maybe even a key word or a key memory from each stop that I take you through. The first one, you have to tell us where it is, Oxford College. This is not the Oxford in England we're talking about.
This is not the one in England. No, so this is a feeder school to Emory University in Atlanta. It's in Oxford, Georgia, which is right outside of Covington, which is on the east side of Atlanta, kind of out in the sticks a little bit. Probably my biggest memory there was just my roommate was a great, great friend of mine. I just saw him after about 13 years. He came to visit out here. He was a high school coach as well. We went to church together, lived together, great guy. We had some really good, friendship that we formed during that time.
That was 2004-05. Then the next year, you're in Utah yep. Valley State College. It wasn't UVU yet. That was still a year or two away, but you were at UVSC.
Yeah, it was at UVSC. That was kind of my first just foray into, just a bigger brand of basketball. You know, they were making the transition to Division I. Probably the highlight of that year was we went down to Arizona State and beat those guys at Arizona State. And as things fast forward, the starting point guard on that team was Kevin Kruger, who's now the head coach at UNLV, who ended up being my starting point guard when I later got a head coaching job. So I always rubbed it in his face that Utah Valley went down and beat ASU at their place.
Kevin, son of Lon?
Yes.
Yes, indeed. And by the way, UVSC was with Dick Hunsaker, right?
Yeah, so yeah. Coach Hunsaker is great. He's been down to several of our practices. Just shot me a note the other day giving me his kind of inside take on our team early here.
That's awesome. So we said that the Oxford wasn't the one in England, but you did make it to the UK. Shamrock Rovers. You were the head coach of the Shamrock Rovers in?
Dublin, Ireland.
Yeah.
So that was my first head coaching job. I was 2 years out of school. Coach Hunsaker actually helped me sort of navigate that. That was probably the best thing that ever happened to me as a young coach, just trying to figure it out. Man, I was 2 years out of school. I didn't really know what I was doing. Called a buddy of mine who was my college teammate and asked him if he wanted to come be my point guard. So him and I sort of did that together, and just a great experience.
Okay, Ireland, not part of the UK, by the way, but near enough to the UK.
I say, those are fighting words.
Yeah, no, Northern Ireland, you're all right. Yeah. Ireland, not the UK. Okay, and then you're back stateside, and you're back in Utah.
Yeah.
With the Utah Flash as both an assistant and a head coach for 4 years.
Yep, so those seeds were planted before I left to Ireland. I met two guys, Joe Brown and Brian Anderson, both guys that have ties here. They said, hey, we're going to start this NBA D-League team in Utah, and I was like, I didn't believe them, but I said, if you do, give me a buzz. I'm about to go overseas and be a head coach. And sure enough, they did. Came back and worked my way up, kind of did literally every job with that organization, ended up being a head coach, and that was a lot of fun.
From the Utah Flash, the Iowa Energy head coach.
Yep. So we played the Iowa Energy in the playoffs the year I was with the Flash. Nick Nurse was the head coach of the Energy. We had a real knockout, drag out series. They ended up beating us and went on to win the title that year. Flash ended up getting sold. I was out of a job. Nick bounced to the NBA. Iowa hired me to come be their head coach.
Then to Delaware, the 87ers, who were affiliated with the 76ers, and you were both an assistant and head coach in Delaware.
Yep, so that was the biggest memory there was just our first son. He was like about 4 or 5 months old when we moved to Delaware as young, new parents, and trying to figure that whole thing out and live in a new place, and just a lot of memories, both good and bad, out there during that time. But that was my big break. Ultimately, although it took several years of my eventual path to the NBA.
Because the next job you got was with the big club from Delaware, and that was the 76ers, an assistant for four seasons.
Yep. So my first year in Delaware with Brett Brown, who was, and Sam Hinkie were the guys running the 76ers. And then Brett Brown, who's Greg Popovich's right-hand man, even now he's back in San Antonio as their lead assistant. He was the head coach for the Sixers and gave me an opportunity, and that was – you know, one of the most fun times I've ever had in coaching.
And from the Sixers to the Suns as both an assistant and associate head coach.
Yep. So Monty Williams was an assistant with me with the 76ers, and he got the Suns job. I stayed in Philly for a year, and then he called me the next year and offered me a job out there, and eventually just kind of kept climbing the ladder there. And just great memories, man. I had a great run on the pro side, just worked with a lot of unbelievable people, both players, coaches, GM, front office people, and just a lot of really good relationships.
Okay, you don't look old enough to have done all of that, by the way.
That's a long list, man, but that's kind of how coaching is, man. There's really no straight path. It's just a lot of opportunity, you know, and just trying to make the most of it, and that leads you to Delaware, to Iowa, to Ireland, to Phoenix, and all around the globe. And it was fun, and it's ironic that it all brought me and my wife and our kids back here to Utah.
Because as an associate head coach in the NBA, you were exploring NBA head jobs, and that was seemingly the next step. And we all know about how that next step was kind of circumvented, and you made it to here. Now that you've settled into this new life, do you feel like it is everything you hoped or thought it would be when you felt those kind of confirmations of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, there's been a lot of pits in my stomach, you know, days I wake up not, you know, not super comfortable yet and just not knowing exactly, you know, the NBA, I was on autopilot, to be honest with you. You know, it's just, you just year after year, you just know what to expect. This is different. I'm getting a lot more comfortable. I got an amazing staff that kind of has helped me with that. And then on the personal side, yeah, man, we've had a lot of really neat experiences of family, just kind of confirming like this is the place we need to be right now. And it's been pretty obvious.
Well, now that we've introduced you all to the head man, let's go through his roster and get the coach's perspective on his players. Here now we're going to introduce to you in numerical order, starting with starters, BYU's players this year. And these players' highlights and stats are presented by Intermountain Health, the official medical provider of BYU Athletics. We'll start with the starting five, and we're going to go numerically. We'll start with the lowest jersey number 3, Yegor Demian, the young Russian. He's averaging 13 points, 4.6 rebounds, 5.8 assists, and shooting just around 50% from the field right now.
Yeah, no, he's off to a good start. You know, he's a unique talent because of his size and his passing and his ball handling. And he's learning a lot just like I am on the fly, you know. That's what I love about him. You know, he's constantly trying to get better. He never makes excuses, extremely hard worker. And the guys really enjoy playing with them.
What, is there a commonality among players to have a foreign upbringing to what they bring to the game here in America?
I mean, I think you see, you know, the IQ. You know, I've coached a lot of good European guys in the NBA. And, yeah, just their brand of basketball is unselfish. They see the game more as a, you know, team concepts, and they get joy off of that side of it, I think, and that he clearly plays with that level of joy when he makes good passes, just as he does when he makes a good shot. So his IQ, along with many of his European counterparts, for sure, it's kind of what makes him unique.
Okay, to number 6, Cannon Catchings. Cannon is a true freshman, and he's averaging 10.5 points and 3.9 rebounds per game. Has started every game for you.
Yeah, no, just beautiful kid, man. And he is a kid, right? You got that baby face. I mean, the sky's the absolute limit for him. He's just so talented. And so we just try to, you know, put him in position to succeed, but also just kind of stay on him about, you know, the things we want to see him be good at. And I think he's improved at an extremely rapid rate. And I just think by the time we get to the end of the season, I can only imagine where he's going to be. And then, you know, beyond that, his potential is through the roof.
Okay, starting wing, the Iron Man, Richie Saunders, number 15. Richie's averaging 13 points a game. He's shooting almost 50% from the field. Made the all-tournament team at the two-game deal you had in San Diego.
Yeah, no, he's an absolute warrior. I mean, he's the, you know, lifeblood of our team, I've called him that. You know, he's a guy who I think, you know, Cannon and Yegor get a lot of attention on the kind of the NBA radar. I mean, to having come from that league, I mean, he's a guy that can play in the NBA in my mind just because of his motor. And most guys that I say this about him all the time, most guys that play like him can't shoot. I think what separates him is he's a knockdown shooter and he has that motor, which is really unique.
Let's backtrack to number 13, Keba Keita, averaging 7 points and almost 10 rebounds per game, shooting about 60% from the field right now.
Yeah, I mean, what an unbelievable athlete. You know, I think he's one of the most dynamic athletes, you know, in the country, vertically. And then obviously his big, you know, big strong body combined with that athleticism makes him really, I mean, that play's insane, a tip dunk off of a free throw. But, you know, he fits in really well, you know, with how we play on both ends of the floor. And I think he's only going to continue to get better as well.
And finishing off the starting five, missed your first four games, Dallin Hall, point guard.
Yeah, no, Dallin's just a leader. That's what I love about him. You know, he's constantly trying to figure out what he can do to help the team. You know, he wants to win. He's just a team-first guy. I love that about him. And, you know, he kind of – it was tough having games without him, and now we're trying to re-find ourselves with him and Yegor together, and then even Keba missed some time when Dallin came back. So we're still very much a work in progress with him missing as much time as he did. But yeah, I think his trajectory is real positive.
We're going to run through a few bench guys, not everyone, but a few guys. And one hasn't seen a lot of time yet, but he was a great high school player here in Utah, two-time 6A player of the year with Corner Canyon. Brody Kozlowski mm-hmm. is someone that was originally committed to USC, came back to BYU. What do you think about his future?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who does all the right things. You know, he rarely makes mistakes in practice. He's always in the right spot. You know, I'm on him constantly about, you know, trying to get as many threes up as he can in practice just to really refine his stroke. I mean, he's a guy who's can be a knockdown shooter, and that's what we want him to be. And I've been really just impressed with his, you know, his basketball IQ. Like I said, he's rarely in the wrong position, and I think he's a guy that's just going to continue to get more and more comfortable and get better out there.
Another European player for you, Mihailo Boskovic, averaging 4.9 points per game, has played in all eight of your games, averaging around 14 minutes a game right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy we like for his versatility. You know, he can play he can play multiple positions. We can slide him over to the five, as you see him block a shot there. You know, he's a guy that gives us a different look. You know, with whether he's the four, he's got great size. Whether he's the five, he's skilled. He can pull other teams' bigs away from the basket. So, you know, his versatility is something that we'll lean on.
Okay, now the savvy veteran, one of the older players in the game, Trevin Nell, comes back to BYU. Started four of the eight games before Dallin got ready to go. He's in the top 10 in career-made threes. He's nearly in the top 20 for career games played at BYU. Great to have a guy like Trevin back with your first team.
No question. I mean, I love Trev. He's a super competitive guy. I think that gets overlooked because of how well he shoots it, but he's one of our most competitive guys, and just as a knockdown shooter. I mean, I love having a guy like that we can draw stuff up in timeouts for. He can come out and deliver and make big timely shots for us.
A UC Irvine transfer who was the spark off the bench in Providence a couple nights ago. Dawson Baker led BYU with 16 the other night in Providence.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that was highly touted before coming here, but was derailed with injuries. I honestly wasn't sure what to expect just because of the injuries. But he worked his way back into really good shape over the summer. And, you know, when he's gotten minutes and gotten, you know, shots, he's really been able to produce. But just as a playmaker as well, I mean, he gives us a different element as far as being able to make plays off the dribble.
How about Foose now? We'll finish with Fuseni Traore, averaging 13 points and 7 rebounds a game in about 20 minutes a game. He's career top 40 at BYU in scoring, already top 5 in offensive rebounds. He's BYU's career field goal percentage leader, and he's shooting 67% this season.
Yeah, I mean, he's just steady. You know, he's a real calming force for us out there. You know, when the game kind of gets hectic, he's a guy we can give the ball to you know, really in the low block, but also in that trail spot, feel like good things are going to happen. Never gets sped up, plays at his own pace, and he's had, you know, he had the career night the other night where he had his career high. So he's somebody that you know, we're relying on heavily.
Okay, we get into your first show, and you're already 8 games into the season here. Let's see what BYU's done to get off to a 6-2 start to this year. Again, the most recent game was played just 2 nights ago at Providence. Cook's second loss of the year. And you see those last 3 games, Coach, the caliber of competition really stepped up. You got a nice win against NC State. Ole Miss is a ranked team, and Providence just had a great night.
Yeah. You know, start with the first one, the Ole Miss game. Was proud of our effort, but, you know, we came up short. You know, learned a lot, though, honestly, in all 3 of those games. That game stings because we're up 4 with under 2 to go. You know, we feel like we should have closed it out and even had a shot at the buzzer to win it. So that was disappointing. NC State loved the bounce back mentality. That was, you know, less than 24 hours later, our guys put together a really good game plan, and the players went out and executed to perfection, quite frankly. So I was really happy with that response. And then, yeah, Providence, you know, give them credit. They played a good game. They had a good game plan. They made shots. And, you know, that's, I don't think that's a good reflection of who we are, but you got to give them credit. They played an extremely good basketball game.
Yeah, they were kind of lights out. All right, as we break, and it is our first break, this is our reminder that your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join Spencer and Jaren weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, we'll get to know another new face in the Marriott Center. Assistant coach John Linehan in his deep blue profile coming up next when BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stay with us.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years, and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics.
Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Well, 2 nights ago was a homecoming of sorts for BYU men's basketball assistant coach John Linehan, who played his college ball at Providence, part of a hardwoods journey that has taken him all over the world. But he's never forgotten how growing up in Chester, Pennsylvania shaped him. So whenever he can, he goes back and gives back to the place that made him. This is Deep Blue featuring Coach John Linehan.
We are headed to the airport, heading out on a recruiting trip to the East Coast. If I get within a couple hours of Philadelphia, you know, I always try to get home and see my family, see my mom, you know, before I have to get out and get back to work. So it's always fun. So, you know, when we were driving in, you know, just thought about, you know, those days of early morning, you know, walking to practice. Chester is unique from the standpoint of, like, there are so many great things that are here, as well as so many not so good things, but combined the two, they build character and strength.
Well, when John was coming up, Chester was really drug infested. And playing basketball was like one of the ways out of the so-called, as they say, ghetto.
You know, I've seen a lot. You know, this kind of place makes you grow up a little faster than normal. You know, I grew up in the projects. I've seen, you know, someone get killed. You know, I've seen someone get shot right next to me. You know, it's a blessing that I'm even here today because it was that close.
But it was always the basketball courts that the kids could go to and to be able to get away from all the madness.
I mean, if you come from a city like Chester, you know, sports is your only way out. I mean, I didn't want to do drugs. I didn't want to do the other things that a lot of my friends and family members, you know, kind of took that route. That wasn't in my future at all. I don't think I've driven through here in probably 20, 30 years probably. But it was like right in the middle of the whole project was a big field. And the best basketball in Chester was played here. Some legends used to come right here and play. Wilt Chamberlain, I mean, Connie Hawkins, like all the big names would come here and play, because Chester's a big basketball town. Bit of history, basketball history, right. Honestly, I mean, I never felt like I had a rough childhood though. Like I thought it was normal, but basketball gave me an outlet. It gave me something to strive for.
And he stuck to his craft, worked hard at it, was a gym rat, was in the gym constantly each and every day, always wanted to be in the gym and just work on his art. So that was a way for him to get out of here, and that's what he did.
When I was coming out of high school, I didn't have many or a lot of high-level scholarship opportunities to go to college and play basketball. So I signed a letter of intent to go to Howard University.
Left that morning, he was all packed. We said our little goodbyes.
I know he didn't want to really go because John, he played with Kobe, he played against the best guards in the country. He did his thing on all of those players. They knew who he was. He felt some kind of way that he was going to have to go to Howard University.
Now, I wasn't as excited about this step as I should have been, you know, so we set out in the parking lot, missed the 10 o'clock train, then the 11 o'clock train, then the 12 o'clock train. Then my dad said, look,
life is what you make it. So, you know, it's up to you. If this is not something that you want to do, I'm behind you 100%. Don't worry about anybody else. You know, it's right now, it's what John wants. If you want to go to Howard, then you get out the car, he's gonna walk you to there, and you know, you get on that train and go to Howard. But if you don't, this is the time to say it.
I kind of felt that in my stomach, in my heart, that it wasn't the right choice. You know, so that's why I took that, you know, leap of faith and decided to bet on myself. When I came back in the house, you know, my mother was beet red, tears in her eyes, and you know, she stormed up the stairs and looked back and said, "You guys better know what you're doing."
I couldn't see straight. I was just so upset. I'm like, who turns down a scholarship? Time went on, it worked out. He was recruited over and he ended up at Providence College.
No, but at this train station some 30 years ago, I made a choice that changed my life.
When you look at John, you see a guy that doesn't have the prototype of a regular basketball player. He's just an average-sized guy. So for the underdogs that we have so many here in Chester, to see someone like John who had the skills, had the talent, but not the size, but the heart to be the icon that he has been in Europe is just fabulous. So it's just a great story all around. I can't say it enough. Super proud of him and what he represents to us here.
It all comes back to Chester, man.
Yeah. You know, remember the old sign that they used to have on the east side?
What Chester makes Chester.
Chester. What Chester makes Chester.
That's a classic that will never die.
Never die.
Yeah, well, you got a lot to share, man. For you to have been able to push through those barriers and not let none of them things get in your way. And you are a testament, bro, like, to the possibilities, man.
So what we have here, this is Chester High School homecoming. This is a big event. See my family, friends, and just, you know, touch my city again. So I love it. I love it.
You can see what John means to a lot of people. Everyone he saw wanted to hug him, shake his hand, rub his head or whatever. They're just so proud of him.
You know, when I was 17, I never thought I would be a coach, let alone at BYU. I mean, this is an unbelievable opportunity, but I try to just live and lead with a good heart. Always be mindful of people that are behind me, my mother, my father, my brother, my sisters, my family, you know, my city. You know, I represent them all on my chest. There are a lot of people that sacrifice and paved the way to help me be where I am today.
How did you get to know Coach Linehan and get him to Provo?
Wow, that was a great piece. Dad, JL and I met when I was working for the Sixers. He was recently gotten done playing, and he would come. I had another coach on my staff who was also from Chester and brought JL around to just kind of transition from playing to coaching. And then the best part about that is he was such an unbelievable defender that when I worked for the Sixers, we would actually bring him in to go against the draft prospects. So we had, like, lottery picks in our gym who are getting guarded by a 30-some-year-old John Linehan who's 5 foot whatever. They can't bring the ball up to court. And there's tons of hilarious stories about that. But that's where we first met and just built up a relationship and a friendship. And, he's a super valuable piece to our staff.
And as the story goes, you saw the clips of Kobe playing high school ball against John Linehan. Kobe was asked who was the best guy he ever faced as a guard. And he says, you're not going to believe this, but it was a high school guy named John Linehan.
Yeah.
That's a pretty nice thing to carry with your name.
Yeah, man, especially coming out of that city, with such a rich basketball history. And obviously Kobe's a legend. And, anyone that's around JL, he's just a super likable guy. And I've been to Chester, man. So, like they said in there, to be able to come out of there on top, man, it's a real testament to him and his family.
It was cool to be back in Providence this week, too, with him in his old stomping ground, too.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, really cool.
Speaking of old stomping grounds, Doug Stewart has connections to Providence as well. We'll get to that here in just a second. When Kevin Young got the head coaching job at BYU, he brought with him some new approaches and new job titles, among them a BYU men's basketball chief of staff. And for that role, he brought in someone with a unique perspective on both the collegiate and professional ranks to help navigate the waters in the new-look world of college hoops. Please welcome in BYU Men's Hoops Chief of Staff, Doug Stewart. Hello, Doug.
Hey, Greg.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate you.
Yes.
Good stories.
Yep.
Did you see the John Linehan piece just now?
I did. That was tremendous.
Isn't that awesome?
That was tremendous. I didn't grow up too far from there. And then when we were coaching in the Sixers organization, that was the backyard of a lot of places where we were.
So I mentioned, of course, we saw John played at Providence. Not a lot of folks, maybe some do, some don't know, that Brown is in the city of Providence. And you played for Brown and were part of that staff. And we were back in your old stomping grounds, too, this past week.
Yeah. Double homecoming we had. Brown University is kind of up on the hill. They call it the East Side. Then there's the downtown Providence area, and then where Providence College is just, probably a mile from there. So it's a nice community. They really did the downtown nice. When I was there as a student and athlete, we kind of stayed up there. And then I came back to Brown as a coach. And then the downtown was redone. I met my wife there, and a lot of good history there.
Nice to be back, wasn't it?
It was great.
The outcome for BYU wasn't what you wanted, but it was nice to see guys with connections. We got into the old gym there for a practice at Brown as well.
Yeah, that was a lot of memories. I got to talk to the current head coach and some of the assistants and, got an idea of where they are now, where they're trying to get to. And, it's all about trying to help these student athletes and put them in positions to be successful. And, at Brown, you had a lot of academic responsibilities as well. So
in the Ivy League.
Yeah.
Yes.
You had to learn how to balance your schedule.
Coach, you already mentioned the fact that you were together in the past. Maybe you could talk about that connection that brought Doug here when you got this job.
Yeah, so Doug and I worked together. He was on my staff when I was the head coach for the Sixers G League team for a season. Longtime college coach. We had that 1 year together on the pro side. He went back to the college ranks. But as I was doing my research and talking to a lot of different people, felt like there was a need for somebody that his title is with his chief of staff that can kind of overlook, for me it's a multifaceted thing. I use it really for two main reasons. One, he's more or less like a coaching consultant for me, kind of oversees and looks at the big picture of how our whole operation is going on a coaching side, but then does a lot of stuff with in the NIL space, which he had some years of experience kind of on the admin side and financial side at Nevada. And so his background was super unique and honestly kind of tailor-made for this role that we have him in.
Yeah, a great mixed background of both the administration part and the X's and O's part. Oregon State, Nevada as a coach and administrator, and Tulane, all coaching stops for you.
Yeah, no, it was coaching takes you to a lot of different places. You got to get up and ready to go. And it was funny when I was coaching at Brown, I was close to getting engaged with my wife. Like, she's probably listening now, but maybe a year off. And then we get this coaching job 3,000 miles away. So I kind of say, hey, something where you'd want to come out and maybe find a job or work out there so we could still hang out. And she's like, yeah, that'd be great. I'm like, oh, and then the pressure shifted to me. And then I was like, I've got to get my stuff together. So shortly after that, we got engaged and moved out there. And, coaching has given us a lot of opportunities from in Nevada and down in New Orleans at Tulane and with Coach with the Sixers in the Ivy League. But after COVID, I had this chance to get into academic or athletic administration. And I was like, wow, you know, stuff was still in flux in college and all over the place, quite honestly. The opportunity to get back to a place where I had success. I was there with Eric Musselman, yeah. And he's had some stops since then where he's been successful. And it was great to see that other side of how it worked. And I was like, man, when I was a head coach, I should have been more in tune to some of this stuff with our boosters, with our admins, with our fundraising teams, and you know, seeing that firsthand. And then when Coach and I were talking a little bit about this opportunity, I'm like, wow, you know, this is a side that I think I can really help us dial into, in addition to the basketball side and working with our student athletes to put them in the best possible positions to be successful.
It's still relatively new for you, but do you feel like it's the fit that you were envisioning?
Yes, yes. I mean, it's each day it has its own identity here, and we're installing things and getting players ready for games, making sure they're academically right, just holistically making sure they're in good positions. Coach really does a great job of having that big picture, and obviously the basketball piece is what we do day to day, but making sure our guys are in really great positions off the court as well. It's neat. I'm almost in every meeting that we have. I'm not running the meetings. A lot of times I'm just listening in the meetings and add my two cents in there. And then afterwards we have some mini meetings with our staff to make sure that we're all on page to, you know, to follow through what Coach wants.
So Doug is the chief of staff, and Kevin put the staff together. Let's meet the rest of this staff. We're going to throw some pictures up on the screen for those who are in studio and at home about the rest of this coaching team. We're going to start with the assistants. These are actual full-time assistant coaches. And the first assistant coach we're talking about is Will Voigt. A few highlights up on the screen. Again, each coach will have a few highlights, not their entire career, but Coach Voigt I don't know if you say right-hand man or not, but he's certainly one of the guys you really lean on.
Yeah, no, I've known Will for years. We coached against each other when we were both in the G League. Really smart guy. He's a very accomplished coach. He's coached in multiple Olympic games. He's kind of known for being a defensive thinker. Really creative, and those are some things that were interesting to me when we brought him on board.
Okay, next assistant coach, Brandon Dunson, came out of Stanford.
Yeah, Brandon's he's a star. You know, he was my first hire. Extremely bright. I think there's a lot of similarities to the way Stanford operates and the way that BYU operates, and so he's been able to help bridge the gap. Extremely good recruiter and just has an unbelievable feel for how things operate.
And then a guy that has been at BYU before in Chris Burgess.
Yeah, you know, Burge, similar to Brandon, you know, he was a quick hire for me. You know, his previous experience at BYU was really interesting to me. Just kind of understanding how BYU operates and the unique nature of it. He's been extremely helpful. I mean, him and Brandon both, you know, I talk a lot about their experience and how much that's helped me on the sort of the non-basketball side, but both of them extremely, extremely bright basketball coaches and really wear, you know, a lot of hats.
Another coach with professional and international experience in Tim Fanning.
Yep, so Tim and I worked together also with the Sixers organization. Was over in Europe for a long time, was with Maccabi Tel Aviv, one of the premier clubs in Europe. He's dialed in with a lot of the things over in Europe, both on the recruiting side, but on the tactical side as well. He's kind of a mad scientist of sorts with some of the tactician type stuff, and really a unique guy. And he's really enjoyed his time here in Utah.
And then the coach we got to know with the deep blue feature in John Linehan.
Yeah, you know, we talked about JL. I mean, he's got great energy. You know, he's a guy that brings it every day. Great experience as a player and as a coach. Like you see there, a lot of our coaches have coached really, really high-end players, and that's something that I think is really attractive when we're out on the recruiting trail.
All right, so five main assistants, and now we go to the Fab Five directors. You have five separate directors with certain specialties. We're going to throw all five up on the screen at the same time and mention that they are Nate Austin, the operations director. Of course, Nate, a favorite of mine, played at BYU, one of the all-timers here at BYU as far as I'm concerned. He was outstanding, whether offensive rebounding, just getting up and answering the bell, games played leader. Nate runs operations. Jordan Brady is your player development director. You see Akash there over analytics and strategy. Your brother Justin is the recruiting director, and Danielle's been brought in as the nutrition specialist.
The Fab Five. I like the Fab Five. We got a really, really robust staff with people that have really high-end experience. You know, Jordan and Akash have both spent time in the NBA. You know, Nate is probably the most valuable player on the whole operation. My brother's got 20 years of experience on the recruiting side and is dialed in as anybody across the country. Then Danielle also coming from the NBA. Her and I were together for 4 years with the Suns, and she's a star. I mean, our guys have really she just got here a couple months ago, and all of them have already said how impactful she's been and what we're trying to do. And, I think to Doug's point, you know, I strive really hard to make our player development program as robust as it can be. And we try to get people who are, you know, elite at their craft so that our guys can be the best versions of themselves. And she's a huge part of that.
And to that end as well, I want to mention head athletic trainer Rob Ramos and player performance, strength and conditioning, and coach Michael Davey, they call him Wiz. And I also want to bring up the pictures of the grad assistants. And these are seven pretty special people as well. We're going to go 4-3, I think, on these. You have from France, Clément Racot. You've got the man they call Juice, Jordan Woodson. You got another great former Cougar player. I love this guy, Charles Abuo. And Kyle Sturtevant, who was at Georgia Tech as a player.
Yeah, no, we have a really, really good group of graduate assistants. That was something we put a lot of time, energy, and effort into that this summer. Those guys are in the trenches with our players on a day-to-day basis, and our coaches, for that matter. And those guys get a lot done probably don't get nearly enough credit, and they're a huge part of what we do.
And you saw their picks at the end: Andy Westman, Drew Marotra, and Nick Maines. That wraps up the grad assistant group. Doug, as the chief of staff, that's a good staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? When Coach and I kind of were brainstorming things originally, when he got hired, we were thinking like, how do we want to put this together? And really, the idea of an NBA front office template was something that just kept coming up, and Coach had that experience and really kind of hammered home like that's what we should do, and we definitely agreed on that. And each person that's on in each job on our staff and our support staff and our GAs, like, there's attention to detail in everything that they do. It's really helped us in recruiting as well. So we've been able to tell recruits and their families to say, hey, they'll be with us this period of time, and when they're not with us, they'll be with our GAs, and their meals and their sleep patterns with Danielle, their strength and conditioning with Wiz, our academic people are our first class as well. So every portion of their day has specific detail towards making them the best versions of themselves, and opportunities to play after BYU from there. But really, that NBA front office template was how we kind of looked at things, and the attention to detail that each person can bring and to our current players and to our recruits has been a really attractive kind of outline.
Yeah, and one, I don't know if you mentioned, but another guy is Craig Manning. You know, he's
mental strength.
Yeah, he's unbelievably valuable. And you talk about recruits, when the recruits come with their families and they get a chance to meet with Doc Manning, I mean, he's as powerful of a storyteller as anyone that we have, based on his experience, his background, and his expertise.
Yeah, great note and a great staff summation. Coming up next on this break, we'll have a guessing game with Coach Young and Doug Stewart, right up their alley, I think, with BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stay with us. All right, BYU basketball with Kevin Young, presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Time for our mini game night portion of the program. Tonight we are playing a game we call Sneakerhead Showdown. Sneakerhead Showdown. We think this will work for you guys. All right, so here's what we're going to do. And we only have time for three pairs of shoes. We are going to have you, both of you, guess and write down on your whiteboard what you think the average price of these following sneakers are. Okay. Now, keep in mind, these are from StockX and Flight Club. Ooh. So we could be talking about some pretty rare shoes that aren't available to the regular public. But the first one, we'll start regular. This will be a Jordan 3 Retro OG from 2024, so a pretty new shoe. Okay. This could be pretty average. A Jordan 3 Retro OG, a new shoe, looking for the average price from StockX and Flight Club. So give us what you think the answer will be. We'll see who comes closest without going over. On Sneakerhead Showdown. Right. Okay. All right, we'll start with Doug on this one. Doug, what do you have?
All right, I'm going to go $250.
$250 sounds reasonable.
I'm going $299.
$299, and you can get these for the low, low price of $166. $166 is all. Okay.
Can we phone a friend? My middle son is the sneakerhead in our family.
StockX is tricky, though, because they get pricey.
They do, and so we're trying to average them out, take them from each. So here you go. Number two, this will be the Nike SB Dunk Low J-Pack Royal. Royal, appropriate. The average price of these between the two sites, a little higher than the first, I'll say.
Yeah, okay.
The Nike SB Dunk Low J-Pack Royal. Okay, we'll start with Coach Young this time.
I'm going $220.
$220.
Can we go $220?
I like the deals on StockX, so I'm going to say it's a little lower.
We're all the way up to $574.50 on this one.
Crazy.
Okay?
Wow.
Now, I have to say, the producers of this show, people like Hema and others, they delve into this world. It just blows my mind.
My number's backwards.
There we go.
Close.
Now, this is a shoe. We'll call it rare.
Yeah.
The Jordan 1 High.
Oh, wow.
What the Dernbecker. This is a name, believe me. So this is very rare. I did a little research on this one, and very few pairs of these were made.
Okay.
And so the price will be ridiculously high because it will be one of the originals.
All right.
When I say ridiculously high, I mean ridiculously high. Prices that I can't imagine paying for footwear. All right, Coach, let's go with Doug.
I'm going big this time.
Where do you go, Coach?
$5,000.
Okay. I'm a little less.
$2,200. This doesn't make any sense to me, but it's $230,000.
Okay, so I was a little off.
Evidently, there were 17 pairs made.
Oh, wow.
And there are so few that that's literally what people are paying for that kind of rarity.
I'm in the wrong business,
man. And I can't conceive of it, but that's what's out there. Anyway, thanks for playing Sneakerhead Showdown, guys. When we come back, we'll have some audience Q&A with Coach and Doug as we continue. BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is on BYU TV.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Health Decide, decode your DNA, design your destiny. And Ken Garf, we hear you.
Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. It is time now for our first Q&A segment of the season presented by Ken Garf, we hear you. We have time for two questions. We have a mic on the floor. We have fans at the mic. Young man, what's your name?
My name is Lucas.
What's your question?
And I was wondering what your favorite NBA player is.
Ooh, that's a good question. I've coached a lot of really good ones. It really comes down to two guys, but probably because he was the most recent guy, I'll go with Devin Booker. He was a joy to coach, great young man, great family. Speaking of shoes, he's got a pretty cool pair out himself, but really loved coaching him.
How about you, Doug?
Wow. I think I'd probably go back to the guys that have had success that weren't the top 50 players. So there was a kid that I coached at Oregon State that we ended up coaching in the G League. His name was Jared Cunningham. Mm. And he was the 22nd pick in the first round. And the story that goes with him, that goes with the shoes, is he said, "Coach," I said, "what are you going to do now? You got all this money guaranteed." He goes, "I want a sneaker, like, locker for just my sneakers." Yeah. I was like, "Really? You're not a car, not this?" He goes, "Coach, that's what I do. I don't drink. I don't smoke." I'm like, "Hey, I sign off on that. Just make sure you ask your parents first."
I got it. Last question. We got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
My name's Ethan. So a little bit of a hard ball. What are your thoughts on switching out players every year as athletes move to the NBA? And do you think it's sustainable to build a program off these one-year players?
I'm not sure that there's a big choice in the matter. You know, I do think it becomes a year-to-year thing. I think more than anything, being prepared to make the necessary decisions that come with knowing that it is a bit more transactional is really the key. So sustainability, I think, comes with just being prepared to handle the hard truth there.
Okay, thanks for the question and the answers. And speaking of questions, it's time for this week's and one BYU men's basketball trivia question. And here it is. Who has scored the most postseason points, that's NCAA/NIT, the most postseason points in BYU men's basketball history? The answer is coming up in our final segment next. Stay with us. So welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Here's this week's trivia question. And the answer here, with 185 postseason points, it is Tyler Haas. BYU's next game, next Wednesday against Fresno State. Time to know the foe, presented by Health Decide. Decode your DNA and design your destiny. Bulldogs, right now they're 3-5, Coach. They play at Santa Clara Saturday, I think, before coming into your place on Wednesday.
Yeah, coming off of a tough game last night against San Diego State. That was much closer than the score indicated. But another Sixers connection. Their head coach, Vance Wahlberg, and I worked together for the Sixers. Yep. He's kind of known for sort of innovating the dribble drive offense. He's a mad scientist. He's a really good basketball coach. They got another former NBA assistant on their staff as well. So they'll be a tough one to face for sure.
That'll be next Wednesday. As for tonight, thank you guys for being in. Thanks for all being here. Grab everything. We go Cougs.
Like the BYU Cougars, Zions Bank has a long, storied